Hello and welcome to The Big Fight. So for a long period of time, we've been saying and asking the question, why isn't the Prime Minister speaking out? Why isn't he saying something on cow vigilantes and attacks on Dalits? Why isn't he speaking out about Kashmir for that matter? And suddenly in 1 week, Prime Minister has come out and done all of that. A very strong statement against cow vigilantes, an exceptionally strong statement, in fact. He then spoke about the attacks on Dalits as well, and he came out and he spoke about Kashmir, and he spoke about the need to try and do something in Kashmir on the daira of insaniyat. Of course, that famous phrase used by Atal Bihari Vajpayee, somebody whom he specifically referred to. So what is all of this signalling? Is it a course correction? Is this something he should have done earlier? But what should we just say? Look, he's done it at last. Let's now figure out what this means and where we go forward. So joining us to help understand what this might be signalling for the path ahead for this particular government, Sambit Patra is joining us, spokesperson of the BJP. We have Mr. Hari Om Tayal, who's from the Akhil Bharatiya Jan Seva Sansthan, who's the chairman of the Gaushala Sangh of Haryana. It's great to have you with us. Doesn't completely agree with everything that the Prime Minister said. Aarti Jairat's with us, senior journalist. Shiv Shakti Bakshi, former president of the JNU ABVP, executive editor of Kamal Sandesh. It's great to have you with us. Kamal Mitra Chinoy, well-known human rights activist, is with us as well. Mehul Jain, social media activist, has quite often been fighting the battles and the wars out there on behalf of Mr. Modi and others. And some of us have probably been prominent targets of yours, so that's okay. That's the way life is. And Professor Kancha Elaya joining us from Hyderabad, one of the country's best-known Dalit Bahujan intellectuals. Thank you all so much for being with us. We're going to get Manishankar Iyer in a short while from now. Sambit keeps threatening that he has to leave us early, so we'll try and get money in your place. I'm not sure he's going to toe your line necessarily, Sambit, but he will certainly be here. Let me start off with you, actually. Are we seeing a change in direction? Has the Prime Minister realized that, you know, he should actually be speaking? And it's interesting that this Prime Minister has to be told to speak, because we attacked the previous one so much for being silent all the time. If there's one thing that Narendra Modi is renowned for, it's his ability to speak and to convince people and to articulate himself. So it's great that he's talking out on some of these issues now.
As far as the Prime Minister and speeches are concerned, one has to remember one thing absolutely correctly, that the Prime Minister has to speak at the right time, in the sense that he has to gather all the information, and whatever he speaks is the final authority. So naturally, expecting Prime Minister to speak on every issue right on the same day, I think is expecting too much. The Prime Minister has spoken.
This has been building for a while. The actions of the cow vigilantes have been on for a period of time, and the attacks on Dalits as well. And there is a certain political damage that has already been done, you could argue, to the BJP, both in Gujarat and in Uttar Pradesh. The Dalit movements that you are now seeing happening, there's a political price that the BJP is paying. And by the way, was that the reason why he spoke out now? Because he realized there's a political price?
No. As far as issues of Dalits are concerned, as far as the issues of Kashmir are concerned, the Prime Minister has spoken umpteen number of times. It's not that he had spoken for the first time. In Kashmir issue also, remember that as far as the three words, the words that we have taken from Mr. Atal Bihari Vajpayee, insaniyat, Kashmiriyat and Jamhuriyat is concerned, the Prime Minister had quoted these words previously as well. The irony is, Dalit, it's not Dalit, it is Dalhit. In Hindi, Dalhit meaning political benefits, you know. That's the problem which we all have to understand. Those political parties which are trying to gain some political brownie points because there are atrocities against the Dalits in the very state, which even they were ruling, in which they are ruling presently, are trying to make out as if the atrocities have started only 2 years from now. And this is where we beg to differ. And this is where we say that, well, Manmohan Singh never spoke against Gohana, never spoke against Mirchpur, neither that same section demanded the Prime Minister to speak. If the Prime Minister, just 10 seconds.
The country by and large spent 10 years saying, why isn't the Prime Minister speaking?
Well,
that we didn't.
Everyone knows in the federal structure that law and order is a state scenario.
Okay.
So when we have a law and order situation in a state, it is for the state to deal with. And that is what the Prime Minister firmly reiterated, that, well, yes, you cannot take these atrocities sitting lightly. You have to see to it. The drogias are prepared against the people who attack the Dalits. And please, for God's sake, start acting. This is the state's new already.
So, Hari Om Tayalji, let me ask you the question. What the Prime Minister said, he spoke out very strongly against the cow vigilantes. He said, some people have opened shops in the name of cow protection. You know, strong, strong remarks out here. How do you respond to that?
We are responsible only when there is any such thing, the butcher taking the cows and people gather there, there are not only Gorakshaks.
Unka to saaf kehna hai ki 80% log hain jo ye sab kar rahe hain.
No, it's not correct, you know. And it's very shocking also. Because all the Gorakshaks, how they plan their duties, you know. They all day and night they go and see that if there is any such thing, cows are going and somebody are taking them out.
From certain sections, Vishwa Hindu Parishad and others, there has been criticism of the Prime Minister. Some of the San Sadhus and others have said ki maybe he went too far, maybe he should have said there are good people who are doing cow protection, but some people are taking it too far. How do you take the comment that he made?
Actually, if you can see how the Prime Minister has spoken on the entire issue, actually he has linked Gauraksha with Goseva. He is actually talking about the kind of people who are doing hooliganism in the name of cow protection. So that kind of elements, anti-social elements, he has specifically made it that the anti-social elements, they should not be encouraged and proper action should be taken against them.
The Constitution does not say preserve only the cow. It says in Article 48, preserve all milch and draft cattle, which includes the buffalo, which gets no protection. And the preservation is to improve the breed. Where are they improving the breed?
Okay.
Where are they making cows healthier and better
bred? Okay, I don't want to make this only specifically about the cow because I think there's a political aspect that I want to get to. So let me just come to you. The political implication of what the Prime Minister has said right now. Now you've had, let me just give you some of the reactions from within the broader Sangh Parivar. So the RSS came out and very strongly backed Narendra Modi. Some antisocial elements of society have been taking the law into their hands in the name of Gauraksha and trying to disrupt harmony by acts of violence. It can make the sacred task of Gauraksha and Gauseva look suspect. This is what the RSS said, Bhaiyaji Joshi. And he clearly said, we would urge state governments to take legal action against such elements. Do not let the true act of Gauraksha and Gauseva be disrupted. So, very clear statement from the RSS saying that preserve the cow, look after the cow, book the vigilantes, throw them into jail. What the Prime Minister said. Vishwa Hindu Parishad, though, said something very different. Prime Minister has hurt the sentiments of Gaurakshaks and he will have to pay for it in the next Lok Sabha polls. Our Gaurakshaks are sacrificing their lives to save cows and Modi ji has termed them as criminals who run shops. This is not fair and the Vishwa Hindu Parishad condemns this statement. Hindu Mahasabha, of course, went one step further and said that the Prime Minister is an Aasteen ka saamp. He has lured people in the name of cow protection to get votes. He's actually turned out to be an Aasteen ka saap, is what Pooja Shakun Pandey of the Akhil Bharatiya Hindu Mahasabha said. Logically, it's a very correct thing that the Prime Minister has done because at the end of the day, the right wing or the cow vigilantes, well, in any case, be voting for the BJP, whom else are they going to vote for? So there's a certain
merit. They may stay at home, Vikram.
They are unlikely to sit at home.
But I think,
do you really see Sunil Parashar, the Vice President, Braj region of the Vishwa Hindu Parishad, saying, oh, because the Prime Minister said this, I'm going to go and vote for the Bahujan Samaj Party or the Samajwadi Party?
No, but you know,
or the Congress Party.
The dissonance that you're seeing today in the Parivar with these different and conflicting statements probably explains why the Prime Minister has been silent for so long. As you pointed out, this incidents of cow vigilantism have been going on for a long time and in fact, probably started last year with the Dadri incident when the Prime Minister did not speak.
This may be the reason, but I think what I'm trying to understand is that politically, doesn't it make perfect sense for the Prime Minister to do what he's done?
Because
many people have been wondering why he didn't do it earlier.
No,
because
absolutely.
You stand to lose a lot more votes by having the Dalits and others saying that the BJP doesn't represent us.
But
risk upsetting Mr. Sunil Parashar. I mean, at the end of the day, Sunil Parashar will probably still vote for the BJP.
He should have spoken out much, much earlier. And he's clearly spoken out now because it's pinching him in Gujarat, Vikram. That's where it's really hurting the Prime
Gujarat
Minister.
And Uttar Pradesh. I'm going to come to Kanchal Iyer on that.
And the impact in Uttar Pradesh, both of which go to polls next year.
Politically, does the BJP think that, well, this is the right thing that he did?
day one when the Prime Minister enters the parliament, he bows down to the parliament saying that this is the biggest democracy, mandir of democracy. The next day he says, rather the very first day he says, that in fact the most holy book of this country is the constitution of this country. So naturally the constitution prescribes, as told by my friend Mr. Mitra, that Article 48, directive principle, says that the cow has to be protected. The same constitution gives right to life of the human beings as well. So naturally that is what the Prime Minister said. Let's not play this game of statistics, how many percentage, what percentage, but what he meant to say, what he has driven home is, yes, gau seva is good. See to it that the cows do not die on the street eating plastics. But for God's sake, you cannot start taking the law in your hand, beating people, okay, going into the kind of vigilantism which is not warranted.
What the government is doing for cows, understand this.
No, I think what he is saying, what the Prime Minister is saying, is protect the cow by all means, and we can have an open-ended debate on how to do that. Don't beat up human beings in the name of protecting the cow, I think is the point of the Prime Minister.
I think he would also agree to it.
How many cases are there?
One case too many. Look what we saw.
Enough to hurt the BJP politically, I think.
One of the other things that has to be said is, it is sometimes felt that this particular government is a bit extra cautious about its own core constituency. And that could be the likes of Sunil Parashar and the Vishwendu Parishad and others. It could also be your constituency in forums like Twitter, right? And I'm going to get him in on this. Where quite often a lot of extra concern is given as to what Twitter trolls and Twitter mobs and, you know, all of these people are going to be saying. And you sometimes see the government actually doing it and being concerned as to what a certain section is going to say. Is that playing a very important role in government's decision-making?
Look, as far as social media is concerned, no doubt social media is extremely important. Every person in the social media or otherwise is important. But having said that, nothing is more important than the constitution of this country. If a section says that, well, we have to beat the people, no one is going to agree with that. The government does not stand with it. The government wants the constitution to be upheld. As far as political correctness is concerned, that we were being heard politically, as Aarti points out, let me just tell you, it's not for the first time that atrocities have appeared against Dalits. I can quote you umpteen number of cases. While we are debating, this last 7 days, we had a case where two youths were urinated upon in Bihar and they belong to the Dalit community. Only yesterday in UP Sahajanpur, we had seen as to how a Dalit was beaten to death because he was trying to buy a costly watch. We had seen as to how in Kanpur, a Dalit died in the confines of a police station. But those were not discussed. Now, we have to understand the core issue. The core issue is, there is a section out there, I'm not taking names, there is a section out there which is trying its best politically again after 2014 defeat to gather the Dalits and the Muslim together so that they are politically benefited. And that is the reason as to why they have a tunneled and a selective vision. They do not see atrocities in the states which are ruled by Congress. They do not talk about atrocities that took place in the previous years. But very conveniently, they only pick up the issues pertaining to Bharatiya Janata Party.
Kancha Elaya, the fact that the Prime Minister has come out and spoken now, he's saying, somebody is saying it's partly selective tunnel vision. People only talk about it when it happens with the BJP, which is why the Prime Minister perhaps had to come out and make those statements as often. And actually, his statements on the attacks on Dalits were also very, very strong statements that he made, where he said, I would like to tell these people, if you have any problems, if you have to attack, attack me. Stop attacking my Dalit brethren. Are those sort of comments, you think, going to go a long way in easing the anger that sections of the Dalits have been facing? Or do you think, as Sambit says, in any case, that the anger was misplaced at being aimed at the BJP?
The gravity of the situation gets reflected in his own statement when he said, if you want to kill, kill me, but not my Dalit brothers. That's what he said. Now, unless there is a huge problem at the ground level in different locations, the Prime Minister of a country would not have talked about killing him, not the Dalit brothers. Now, there is a very positive language there. He was saying that Dalit brothers are my brothers like anybody else, so therefore you don't kill. But the question is, I think whether Sambit or BJP as a party or some of the Sangh Parivar organizations which are today taking one stand which took another stand earlier which is different from Hindu Mahasabha, and some of the other Gorakshan organizations, is that the reference to constitution of Article 48 in the directive principles is as if it is only meant for cow and its progeny, not for the rest of the issues in the directive principles is okay. The problem. Now in this, what happened? In this, what happened is this, that instead of taking care of go portion, they made rigorous laws about gau rakshan. What Sambitji is saying is right. There are umpteen kinds of atrocities on Dalits from the days of Manu to present. But this is a government-made issue right now.
I'm just going to come back to you, Kancha. Manishankar Iyer, Sambitji is saying that what the Prime Minister said was a correct thing to say, and he chose his right time to say it, whether it comes to the attacks on the Dalits or on the attacks on cow vigilantes. And he's also wondering why the opposition is playing so much politics on the entire question of attacks on Dalits. He says this happens everywhere.
I'm glad the Prime Minister has at long, very long last, come out with saying what any Prime Minister should have said as soon as these incidents started. That is the point, that this vigilantism is not as a result of a desire to protect the cow, because the desire to protect the cow is part of the Congress heritage as enunciated by Mahatma Gandhi for years before we reached this point.
But specifically, do you think this has got to do a lot with the Dalit backlash that we have seen in Gujarat and in Uttar Pradesh?
Well, the Dalit backlash is the consequence of the Sangh Parivar's aggression. It is the Sangh Parivar's aggression on this issue, and that arises from the fundamental mindset of the Sangh Parivar. I want to share with you what Mahatma Gandhi said on this issue in the middle of the partition process on the 25th of July 1947, as reported in D.G. Tendulkar's book. Gandhiji said the Hindu religion prohibited cow slaughter for the Hindus, not for the world. The religious prohibition came from within. Any imposition from without meant compulsion. Such compulsion was repugnant to religion. India was the land not only of the Hindus, but also of the Muslims, the Sikhs, the Parsis, the Christians and the Jews. And he could have added, and the Dalits, and all who claimed to be of India and were loyal to the Indian Union. Since now, in these circumstances, to make the issue of the cow the litmus test of loyalty, and to tell people who have a different view of the cow that they can go to Pakistan, and then to attack people whose livelihood depends upon the leather industry, I think all this would have happened in 1947 if this Hindutva view had prevailed then.
Okay.
All this is happening now because of the Hindutva view. And when the Prime Minister makes a statement finally, please let me finish my sentence. It's exactly like, in keeping with a Tamil phrase, a popular saying, which is perhaps there in other languages, that you pinch the baby to make it cry, and then you rock the cradle to show that you're comforting the baby.
Okay. First you pinch the baby, and then you're rocking the cradle.
Let me tell you who pinched the baby and who is rocking the cradle. In fact, when Mr. Manishankar Iyer says that it's a fundamental mindset of the RSS and the Sangh Parivar, which is responsible for the atrocities against the Dalits, 1925 was the year when RSS was formed. Is it that the Dalit atrocities never existed before 1925, and all of these started with 1925 and surged when Mr. Modi became the Prime Minister? Not at all. Gohana and Mirchpur, just Google Gohana and Mirchpur, you would find that the worst atrocities against the Dalits were hundreds of homes Dalits were burnt were during the tenure of the Congress regime.
Gandhi, you're talking about 1925. I'm trying to figure out.
Now, the pinching of the baby, B.R. Ambedkar is the doyen of Dalit thinking. He is a think tank of Dalit wellness. He, in his resignation letter submitted to Nehru, classically quotes as one of the points as to why he's quitting the government. He states that this government, that is Nehru's government, is being indifferent towards Dalits' welfare.
Who has pinched the baby and who's rocking it? That's what you promised to tell me.
I'm telling you. I ask you a question, Bikram, directly. I ask Mr. Manishankar Iyer. 125 houses of Dalit in Bihar were gutted. Where were you then? Where was Mr. Manishankar Iyer then? You talk about Gujarat, but in Bihar, Dalits are not Dalits. You talk about Gujarat, but in Kerala, when a girl called Jisa is murdered, brutally murdered, a Dalit girl, no one talks about that.
Okay.
Where is the book of Mr. Manishankar Iyer then? Why he does not remember Pakistan then when Jisa is murdered? This convenient talking, just because you want a Dalit Muslim vote bank, people of this country are intelligent, they can see through it, and people are not going to fall into trap.
Let me just start with you, Mehul. These days, there's a very strong, vociferous army on social media. I'm trying to find the right word so I don't get trolled on this. But a very strong and vociferous army on Twitter, which has a certain viewpoint. Do you think a government says a lot of things really to appease this particular constituency?
Talking about this Dalit thing, let me tell you, sir, there is a lot of biasness of media. You have to agree on this. What Sambhiji said is, when a crime against Dalit has reported in a non-BJP state, it becomes a normal incident. Okay, it becomes a normal incident. And when it comes to Gujarat, Maharashtra, and there, when something happens against Dalit, it becomes anti-Dalit incident, not anti-human incident.
That's not entirely true. So, Dalit attacks are Dalit attacks. When it's happened in UP, there's been a lot of ruckus raised.
You blame center for
that. UP is not ruled by the BJP. UP is a Samajwadi Party ruled state, and the media has been at Uttar Pradesh's throat. Most of these attacks are happening in Uttar Pradesh, actually.
The main thing
other than Una, which was in Gujarat, a lot of the attacks are in Uttar Pradesh.
What happens is, when it came to Aklak Dadri case, what happens is Kejriwal went there, Rahul Gandhi went there, and they attacked Modi, not UP state government. Now, when they have come to Gujarat, they are attacking state government, which is BJP. So they are telling that Anandi Ben Patel had to resign because of this incident and all. What I want to say is, sir, Gauraksha, I agree, Gauraksha is very important part of life, Hindutva also, but you cannot go above law.
So therefore, you agree with what Narendra Modi has said?
Yes, of course, sir.
All right. Come on, Mr. Chana.
Just one clarification, that in Muzaffarnagar, Mahesh Sharma, who was a union minister of tourism, and Sangeet Singh Sohm, who had been arrested under the National Security Act, both went and enraged the mobs. So it's not only who does it. People from outside come. And it's a record. Second point I want to make is, let us also not forget the OBCs. They are also suffering from attacks. And that has been overshadowed by the Dalit question. Last thing I want to say is about Mr. Modi's style of speaking. Burhan Wani was killed on 8th July. When did Mr. Modi speak about Kashmir? Even earlier, the problem with Lalit Modi and Sushma Swaraj and Vasundhara Raje helping Lalit Modi. When did Mr. Modi speak up? So Mr. Modi...
Look, Kashmir burning and what happened with Sushma Swaraj and Lalit...
No, but Kashmir burning, it started burning on the 8th of July. When did he speak up?
Okay. Could he have spoken up earlier?
Right now, Manishankar Iyer is saying that Modi has spoken too late. But what was Manmohan Singh doing?
That's why he lost the elections. No, let me remind you.
Lost the elections. But Modi is speaking, so he will win the elections.
Either.
So he will win the elections. But I am coming to another point. See, this cow protection movement has a historical past. It has a historical cultural past. It is not that Gandhi
also
started.
Going to take me back to 1920, I am going to cry.
Not just 1920, right from time immemorial. None of the persons in Una who were doing all these things, condemnable act, were associated with RSS or associated with Sangh. There is another side of history also. There are many Gorakshaks who have been killed. They have been killed in actions. There have been... These things are not reported in the media.
There's a point to be made about this not reported in the media. Because invariably, when you said not reported in the media, if you do a search, it will be reported. But everyone has slight blinkers, especially on Twitter.
What about Modi's stronghold?
You will pick, there will be 8 comments that will be made saying one thing, which will not be noticed. And then 2 comments will be made on the other side. And then suddenly everyone is going to say, why weren't you talking about...
Modi's selective vision is
universal, I'm trying to say.
There's a deliberate attempt to mix up issues here. In Modi's own state, for months, Hardik Patel is locked up under sedition. The Patidars don't have no coverage. And nor does the Prime Minister say anything. He was chief minister of that state.
Okay. Kancha Elaya, attacks on Dalit being universal, is there a special selectiveness that you are seeing where it is being spoken about more in connection to BJP states or where BJP people are involved, and it's not highlighted to the same extent when others do it.
That is not the issue. In fact, the major concern of the nation and the masses, the Dalit masses, is that both BJP and Congress, they have to look back and re-examine this whole question of Gorakshan in this form, which has a direct bearing on Dalit economy. So the question is whether the Congress made the laws with the demand of the Vishwa Hindu Parishad earlier or the Hindu Mahasabha earlier in the mild form, or how they implemented. Then over and above that, what BJP has done now, creating a situation now, what is obtaining all over the country, a fearful situation. I have been saying that let the Prime Minister call the National Council meeting of all chief ministers. Let Congress and BJP sit together and solve this, like what they have done with regard to GST yesterday.
For the Congress to say, why didn't this Prime Minister speak earlier, is in a sense strange, because your Prime Minister, the years that he was there, often didn't speak at all. So I guess the Prime Minister would also be justified in feeling that when I speak, you know, if you speak, you're wrong. If you don't speak, you're wrong.
The words he's now spoken, I welcome. And the only point is that, is it right that he should be speaking these words now when the blood has flown? Or should he have staunched the flow of blood as soon as it began? That really is the question. The other question to ask is that even though there have been atrocities against the Dalits right through the period of our independence and starting from millennia before, the Congress has attempted, I'm not saying it has done it, it has attempted to put in place measures which will ensure that there is a reduction in atrocities against Dalits and that the state will not be associated with those who inflict these atrocities. I'm sure Kanchi Elaya will agree with me.
I don't know that if he'll agree with you. Kanchi Elaya, do you think the Congress has a great track record in this?
Maniji, you know, look at the issue, the brief history of this whole question of cow loss. Before 2002, the Jejer skinning and killing of Dalits took place. There were cow protection laws in about 25 states, which were definitely put in place by Congress itself. But the implementation was different. The whole orientation was different. Maybe it had controlled the paramilitary forces which voluntarily wanted to do this. But Jejer incident during NDA 1 started killing Dalits for skinning cow. And now it has become a national issue, and then killing and killing and killing. Now the question is it not right that all of you, you know, accusing this person, that party is another thing. But there should be a solution to the problem.
But Kanchi Elaya, we are all in parliament, and that is where it should be discussed. And always the initiative in this should be taken by the government.
In addition to cow vigilantism, which is one of the issues that has been spoken about, attacks on Dalits is the second one. Prime Minister also speaking about Kashmir. Now, this is again something which is we should focus attention on, because a narrative has been sought to have been built up, whether it is on television channels or on social media, for the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks, that anybody saying anything on Kashmir other than the fact that it's entirely XYZ is to blame and this is what the norm is. If you say anything else, you're an anti-national, you're a traitor, you should be shot or sent to Pakistan, or both preferably. Now, the Prime Minister has also come out and said, look, we need to address this entire issue. And Parliament has come out and had some really serious debates in it. So what I'm trying to ask, I think, all of you, one by one, is this going to signal a change where we can actually sit and have more rational discussions about some of these subjects, looking for solutions, as opposed to viewing everything in black and white? Because, and I hate to come to social media again or any of these things, sometimes these issues are painted as black and white. On some channels, they're painted as black and white. Sometimes on social media, it's painted as black and white. But these things are not always black and white. Are you going to see a change in discourse, yes or no?
I don't know, Vikram. I think it's too early to say. I mean, certainly the last few weeks we've seen a much more conciliatory Prime Minister and government. And one of the results of that has been the passage of the GST bill, which would never have happened if they hadn't tried to build up consensus. But what we really need to wait and see is whether this is short-term tactics or long-term strategy, or does it indicate a genuine appreciation and understanding of the diversity of Indian democracy? Okay. I don't know. I would like to wait before I so say Mayur, whether we're going to see a better discourse.
Let me ask you, has that been appreciated? Because, you know, as Aarti is saying, maybe a slightly more conciliatory approach may be being taken by the Prime Minister on a number of issues. You agreed with what he said on the Gaur Akshats. What about some of the other comments, like Kashmir and other things?
Sir, obviously, I agree with him, but then why this Kashmir incident got so much hype? First thing is Burhanwani was killed. Okay. Next day, what happens is so many people come in the last rites of Burhanwani. Next day, what happens is media prints. There were some journalists, top journalists, who tweeted. They were justifying terrorism, his terrorism, telling that his father was from poor background, he shouldn't have been killed.
That wasn't actually, just to be completely clear, may have been saying what his background was, but I haven't seen anybody saying that his terrorism was justified. He was a terrorist and he should have been killed with a terrorism.
His brother, who was a militant, was killed.
Okay, yeah. So what happened is, people got angry on social media, on ground also, telling that how can you justify terrorism when Kashmiri pandits were dragged from Kashmir? They did not take up guns and started killing people. Okay, so that is not justified at all.
Nobody should justify terrorism.
Yes,
I 100%
but
agree.
But many
with
people
you
did. Whether
here's the point which I think deserves a certain amount of. This brings us back to the question of discourse. By questioning something, okay, there's discontent in parts of the valley, by saying something, it doesn't necessarily mean you're either justifying terrorism, it doesn't mean you're anti-national, it doesn't mean you don't love India, it doesn't mean any of those things. Sometimes it's painted that way, which is a false binary.
But
sometimes
like
there are shades of grey.
This is like supporting what he did.
Why?
Yes, of course. What you are telling is that, he did because this happened.
If he's a terrorist, he has to be dealt with as a terrorist. And he's a terrorist, he's picked up guns, he's attacked the Indian state. The army should shoot him. It's as simple as that. By the way, the only people who came and said, we're not completely sure whether he should have been shot or not, was actually the PDP government, where they said that if he'd known he was a Burhanwani, maybe they wouldn't have been shot.
I'd like to know one thing. Isn't it important for us, all of us in India, to understand what's happening? Isn't it important for us to know the background of people, events, and so on? Or should we just blanket out and say that this guy was a terrorist,
if tomorrow Kashmiri pandits take up guns, will we think that also?
Isn't it important to arrive at understanding any situation?
No, that's what PM said,
should
right?
you not
that's
know
what
the
PM
background?
Said, we believe
I mean,
in
that
Jambu
is what that is what good no, discourse, good debate
is
about.
That Kashmir is a very long-standing problem. It's a tricky problem, and you have to have various nuances while dealing with it. You can't have a quick fix solution.
Yes, but you can't have such a shallow understanding.
But you can't justify terrorism.
It shows a very anti-intellectual approach to issues.
We're not supporting Gaur Akshat terrorism. We're not supporting any terrorism in any state.
If you don't take Burhanwani case also, you take Yaqub case, a newspaper print, and they hang them, judicial killing. These terms are very wrong.
What I'm wondering whether now you're going to see a slightly more open discourse, which I'm not 100% sure about just yet. Yeah, your take on this.
The approach of the Prime Minister was conciliatory right from the beginning, right from after the formation of the government when the flood hit Kashmir. Actually, there are some incidents which actually goes out of hand. And it has actually, this Burhanwani incident has triggered something which should not have taken place.
Yes.
So, actually, last night also in Parliament, day before yesterday, all the parliamentarians, they discussed about it. And today also, all party meeting has taken place. So,
and
it is
not,
India has always been talking from the framework of this Insaniyat, Jamhuriyat and Kashmiriyat. But Insaniyat is there. So, terrorism, if some violence, terrorism, someone is supporting that. And like outfits like Hizbul Mujahideen, who is a Mujahideen?
There are some things which all Indians will be agreeable on, right?
Yeah.
A terrorist is a terrorist. I think it's appalling. As a nation, we should all collectively say, how is it happening that they're still allowed to walk around freely in
Absolutely.
Pakistan? Hafiz Saeed addresses rallies, Sayyid Salahuddin addresses rallies. These are shocking things. We should all agree that they are shocking.
Yeah.
That's fine. We should say that. But I think the point that Aarti was also making is questioning. What exactly is the nature of what is happening in Kashmir? Doesn't necessarily mean, if you're questioning it, is it for this reason or that reason, you are therefore a
Actually, questioning is the essence of democracy. There should always be
questions. Thank you so much.
I'm so glad to hear you saying that.
You're going to be called an anti-national for saying that.
Thank God.
Now you're going to be called an anti-national for saying that. Questioning means you're wrong.
No one will call me because of my background, my credibility.
Nobody should be questioned for that reason.
That question should be
If Mani says that he shouldn't be questioned either.
One section also. From one section.
Do we need to question and understand all these issues?
Absolutely. You must question them. You must know the distinction in your mind between seeking an explanation and justifying it. The worst of the recent discourse has been that anybody who says there might be a reason, let us try to find it, for unless we find the reason, we won't be able to find a solution. If he immediately gets attacked, as I do, as being pro-Pakistan, pro-terrorist, pro-separatist, it's all rubbish. I don't accept any of this. But I do think it is very necessary to go beyond the syndrome of saying terrorism is a terrible thing. Of course it's a terrible thing, but in order to stop it, you have to understand why it is taking place.
Yeah.
And ask yourself whether small boys coming onto the street in their hundreds facing these pellet guns is because they're all completely misled, or is it because there is a bubbling grievance which needs to be addressed? And if it is, then why is the BJP government in the valley? They're the government in the valley. Why have they not taken action much earlier? Why does the Prime Minister not take a plus interest? Why does he wait for 4 weeks, 5 weeks, and then a huge amount of trouble on the social media? And some elements of your profession indulging in xenophobia and jingoism and this kind of dirty language about anyone who questions it being a Pakistani, he should have come up front. When there's a crisis is when we need a prime minister. Not somebody who, having aggravated the crisis, then claims that he's pouring oil over troubled waters.
One thing I want to tell, sir. First thing is, questioning is not anti-nationalism. No one calls it. Okay, but justifying, it seems like it is justifying terrorism. Okay, they did not question why this happened or why this problem occurred, why he became a terrorist. They were justifying this happened because he, this background was so and so. That is what I am telling. They did not question. And regarding solution, Modi ji has always been talking that development is the solution of all. Whether celebrating Diwali he goes
that
to.
That is the biggest misperception about Pakistan, about Kashmir also. Particularly about Kashmir, because the development card has been played again and again and again, but there is a major question of identity, there's a major question of self-rule, there's a major question of human dignity that is involved there.
Some of the people who are speaking the most forcefully or loudly, as the case might be, about what needs to be done in Kashmir are people who probably never been there. Never been there, never met anybody, never encountered anybody, never done a day's, you know, coverage from there. That's why I think there is a certain need to understand. And again, I'm hoping, the reason I'm keeping on coming back to what the Prime Minister said is I think, in a sense, he's opened a series of doors where some of these discussions need to start happening.
But he should have gone back to Vajpayee, not the slogans. But Vajpayee encouraged. Come on, yeah.
What other governments have done.
No.
Why this exclusion?
No, what Congress Who government did the round has table? Done?
Well, listen,
who sent the interrogation? What Congress government has sent the interrogation?
What about your government?
Let's move forward. Let's stop blaming the past. Why do we keep blaming the past?
No, no, but money.
But
we can learn from the past.
Completely failed.
Vajpayee started this negotiation. I'm talking about your party.
Vajpayee
started the talk. He gave those three slogans that Modi took up. But Vajpayee also did not discourage the J&K assembly from passing two documents. One was the reorganization of the region, Jammu and Kashmir, and the other was for more autonomy.
Yeah,
now, unless that comes on the table, we have not moved a step ahead at all.
But by the way, the closest that we ever came to actually getting a solution, and this is where the Congress government can also introspect, and should have introspected at that time, as to why they didn't take advantage of that window of opportunity that existed in the late 2000s when even the...
In the late 1990s, you mean?
The late 2000s, no, when actually, Pervez Musharraf was willing to come to the table and start working on a solution.
Oh, we worked on it until Musharraf lost power. Please remember that there's a number of things, if the Prime Minister would refer to all of it, there could be an all-party consensus on how do we move forward. I'm not saying that we solved the problem. But I am saying we attempted to understand what it was.
Yeah. The Prime Minister, while doing his outreach, he and the Home Minister in particular blame Pakistan for everything that's happening in the valley, which means they haven't even recognized that there is a problem on the ground. That's you have to first acknowledge that there is a problem on the ground. The second thing is that Rajnath Singh very firmly ruled out talking to Pakistan about Kashmir.
But we shouldn't, You can say that, but actually there are a lot of people who are familiar with Kashmir who say we should first talk to people internally within ourselves.
You also have to talk to Pakistan and draw the red lines on
That's
Kashmir.
What
Why should you avoid
he
talking
the
about Pakistan?
You draw
the red lines. That's what you need to do.
I'm not sure we're going to solve Kashmir in this particular episode of The Big Fight. I'll do another one. How many of you in this audience welcome the statements that Narendra Modi has made this week on cow vigilantism and Kashmir? Only three of you. You don't welcome his statement. Why don't you welcome his statement?
Sir, I don't think so. A statement can solve those things. Matlab, he spoke so late or at that time. Kashmiris ke saath ho chuka hai and then he's speaking. I don't think so. You need to ask the people of Kashmir. Is that speech working for them?
Lady here, yeah, I'm almost
so
out of
my
time.
Question here is, apparently the BJP spokesperson who has left has spoken out that the party had switched lots the elections in 2014. He's trying to politicize only because it's affecting Gujarat and UP, which are apparently the BJP polls out there. UP, we all know, has the largest number of seats. So when Mr. Modi has finally come out of his tunnel, is it another his manipulating PR skills talking about it, or is he actually going to imply talking about Mahatma Gandhi and talking about Vajpayee?
The lady here said, Kanchalaya, let me start with you. The statements that have been made, in her view, largely made to because there are big elections that are going to be coming in Uttar Pradesh and Gujarat, and that Dalit anger is something that really worried the Prime Minister, which is why he has spoken out. And of course, Kashmir needed to be said, given how bad the situation is. Would you agree with her that it was largely political, or do you think this is something that the Prime Minister feels now it's time to really put an end to all this?
Yeah, Vikram, I would have taken Prime Minister's statement very seriously if we were to chalk out a program of action. Right now is that the Dalit poor people's food, their right to employment with the cow sector or animal sector or agrarian sector. Now, there is no chalked out program from the government as of now. That is the reason why I have been asking them repeatedly on every channel, let there be program initiated by the Prime Minister to put a full stop this whole problem.
Okay. Manishankar Iyer, the Prime Minister's statements, entirely political as she was hinting, or do you think it's justified now and about time he spoke on these issues?
Of course, it's essential that he say it now if he's not said it before. But does this represent a change of voice or a change of heart? Is he really true that we need to protect, as Kanchi Ilaya said correctly, the employment opportunities of one of the most labor-intensive sectors of the Indian economy, which is the leather industry, which has a huge export potential and which is right on top, and where the Dalits have found a lot of employment? Secondly, if the price of dal is over 200 rupees a kilo, then you get into a situation where people have no alternative but to eat whatever is available, and if that happens to be beef or bovine meat, let me put it this way. And if they touch it and then they start getting attacked, I think that's very wrong. So he's quite right, Kanchi Ilaya is, in saying that there has to be a program of action to match these words, and that examples must be made of these so-called Gorakshaks, who are really Gaur terrorists, and they should be treated as people who have tried to take the law into their own hands and should not be allowed to do so.
There should be a country ke andar hamare ek hona chahiye ki ye pata lage ki aap gau ke liye kitne samarpit hain. देश के अंदर कितने लोग चाहते हैं कि गऊ बचे. अगर इसके अंदर 80% अगर लोग इस हक में हैं तो व्हाई शुड देयर शुड बी ए काउ स्लॉटर.
नहीं, इनका कहना है कि कुछ लोगों के पास बोवाइन मीट खाने के अलावा कोई चारा नहीं रहेगा.
ये सिर्फ इट्स ओनली ए मैटर ऑफ यू नो थॉट यू नो मे बी बट वी डोंट थिंक दैट पीपल कैन नॉट टेक अदर मीन यू नो.
व्हेन इट कम्स टू बुरानवानी दे टेल दैट वी शुड question why this is happening, but when it comes to cow slaughter, nobody is ready to think, you know, why this is happening, why
no,
cow.
You should think, yes, in both cases. So, I completely
but in
agree.
The Kashmir government, yeah, BJP was there.
You should think of why.
What he said is they should be punished well because
no.
Just now he said it.
I think this misinterpretation has to be corrected. Any issue requires understanding. Insofar as cow slaughter is concerned, for many decades, the Congress ruled both the states and the center. And in almost all states, cow slaughter has been banned because this is a subject
for
the states.
On the one hand, they...
But we have not had cow vigilantism until recently. And that is because...
Can we agree that you should try and understand why things are happening? Yes. Understand everything which is happening. Understand why cow vigilante is happening. Understand why terrorism is happening. And then... anybody breaking the law, whether he's a cow vigilante or a terrorist, needs to be dealt with according to the law.
According
Do you agree on that?
Law. Yes.
You agree? You're in agreement,
yes,
on that?
Definitely.
All right. Final thoughts on what the Prime Minister said.
I don't accept his 80% remark because nobody can give statistics on that 80%.
Okay. He doesn't accept that part of it. He accepts the rest. Come on.
Well, number one, I don't agree with the Congress policy on cow slaughter because it's not based on the Constitution. The Constitution says stopping the slaughter of cows, buffaloes, and includes Mithun yak. Why did the Constituent Assembly say this? They didn't want it to be a religious thing. So it was a draft in which Nehru and Ambedkar themselves intervened. What has happened is, taking it out of context, you're saying only cows are the holy animal. Now, that is not the belief of many religions in this country. And this country is known for its pluralism and its multiculturalism. Okay. The last point I'd like to make is, yes, it is all right if the Prime Minister makes political speeches. Prime ministers are expected to make political speeches. But
it's
he should
job
make
to come out
it's
and make a
job.
Speech
but two things. Number one, it should be made in time. And number two, there should be a follow-up of further steps. It should not be lost amongst the multitude of problems that India has.
Okay.
See, whatever Prime Minister has said, or he says it with conviction. That's why his credibility is so high among the masses. And you see, all his speeches are backed by actions. Actually, even on cow vigilantism, he has asked the state governments to prepare dossiers and to take strict actions, because actions are to be taken by the state government. Law and order is a state subject. Even on the issue of this Jammu and Kashmir, he has initiated a dialogue within the political class, and all the political parties are now engaged. And even on the issue of Dalits, actually, he is speaking right from his heart. And even for the RSS, Rashtriya Swayam and BJP, the issue of Dalit has been an issue of conviction. And
not
it is one, also not
one
a political... It is a,
and not
it
one
is,
of votes, which is what she was
it
saying.
It is about commitment to this class. It is about the correcting the mindset of the people. And one more thing I am saying. See, Dalit discourse is also not a monolithic discourse. None of the discourse, like you are saying about the understanding about the Kashmir, we should not see it in black and white. Similarly, on the Dalit issue also, we should not say that Dalit is a, this issue is a monolithic discourse, as Kancha Ilaiya is trying to say. You should also read Ambedkar. Kancha Ilaiya, people like Kancha Ilaiya, they are not quoting Ambedkar, because Ambedkar is saying that if you give up beef eating, it is a revolutionary. It is a revolutionary action. It is a no, actually, he is actually not an Ambedkar.
Kancha Ilaiya, I was trying to wrap up the show, but Kanchi, you just infuriated Kancha Ilaiya beyond belief.
Ambedkar didn't say that. Ambedkar said, okay, listen. See, Ambedkar said, don't skin. I've read it. He says, don't skin and eat dead cows.
Okay. No, he has also said.
Kancha Ilaiya, you want to just quickly.
He actually went for two revolutions. And the Hindu, rest of the Hindu caste.
Okay, Kancha Ilaiya, quickly. I have to end the show. Kancha Ilaiya, quickly. Yeah.
Ambedkar repeatedly said, democracy is one person, one vote, one
what
vote, one value.
On
cows and
no,
goose don't
specifically
have votes.
Say,
why
you
are you making this democracy cow
democracy?
Savarkar supported beef eating. He wrote a book about it. Savarkar, your hero.
But in a different... No, even in a different context.
Okay. Not at all. Not at all. In the Indian context. During the freedom struggle.
I wish all of you would listen to what young people in the audience are saying.
Yes.
That is cow going to be the only issue that we discuss in this country? Are we not going to discuss other issues like jobs and so on? Please, why are we just going on and on about this? And I'm sorry. I'm sorry. As far as this cow vigilantism is concerned, you have a union minister, Mahesh Sharma, who says that his heart starts quivering when he thinks about the cow. I mean, come on. You're giving ideological justification for cow vigilantism with this. The Prime Minister needs to make his own ministers stop talking like this.
But what Mehul is saying is that he just asked what's wrong with that. If his heart quivers when he sees a cow, he's entitled to have his heart quivering.
Sure. So it's his right.
Something else could make your heart quiver. It's your choice.
But that's where Gaurakshaks draw their strength from.
Okay.
From statements.
Prime Minister, last comment from you. Prime Minister's statements signaling a change in direction politically, yes or no?
Look, he said what he should have said a long time ago. And I'm glad he said it now, even though it is a bit late in the day, but he said it now. So I think we should appreciate that. But now we need to see some action.
Okay.
It has to move beyond words to actual action on the ground. And I hope that in the coming months we'll see that. Otherwise, these will be just words that have fallen in a well.
All right. Words are much appreciated, but they need to be followed up with action. That, I think, is what Aarti was saying. Maybe it's summing up what many people here actually are also feeling and saying. That's all we have time for on this episode of The Big Fight, but we will be back next week.